Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. With the holiday season upon us, many workplaces are buzzing with festivities, but not all of us celebrate the same holidays or even at the same time. This raises an important question. How can we ensure that holiday celebrations are inclusive and respectful of everyone's traditions in a multicultural environment? Our guest today has the answers and more. He is Dean Foster, the founder of DFA Intercultural Global Solutions and president of Dean Foster Global Cultures. With over two decades of experience advising Fortune 500 companies, governments, and NGOs like the United Nations, Dean has traveled to more than 100 countries helping organizations navigate cultural complexities. You may know Dean as the host of CNN's Doing Business In series or from appearances on CNN, CNBC, and the BBC. His interviews have been featured in Newsweek, USA Today, and the New York Times. He's also the author of five books, including Bargaining Across Borders and the Global Etiquette Guide series. Dean's contributions have earned him honors such as the induction into Worldwide ERC's Hall of Leaders and the Forum for Expatriate Management's Lifetime Achievement Award. He is also on the faculty of American University's Intercultural Management Institute and the co-host of the podcast, Oops, Your Culture is Showing. Dean's article, Celebrating the Holidays in a Multicultural Workplace, 8 Tips to Make Everyone Feel Welcome, appears in the December 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Coming to us today from a little cottage by the sea in Connecticut, Dean Foster, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Greg, it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for chatting with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I can't believe it's been 3 years since we last spoke.
Nothing ever seems, you know, like it's been that long. If you would ask me when was the last time we spoke with each other, I would have said, I don't know, maybe a year ago.
Or... Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I was just checking back. It was August 2021, and you enlightened us on episode 186. It was entitled "How to Communicate Effectively Across Cultures."
Ah, right. Yes. Well, I hope I said something fairly intelligent then.
It is. That's why you're back.
Okay.
Plus, of course, your new article. So I read your article. I really appreciated that the article had a very positive tone and progressive outlook with respect to celebrating the holidays, especially at this time of the year. Just to give some perspective, there's been a few times where I've gained the impression going into some offices with such diversity, the traditional, we'll call it the traditional ho, 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 has sort of been toned down out of respect for others. But in your article, it seems like you're saying, don't do away, but rather incorporate the new ways. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think when it comes to managing cultural differences, however they reveal themselves, whether it's at a holiday function, at a party, or whether it's across a serious negotiation table, the issue is never to negate one in favor of the other, but rather to incorporate and to have each culture at the table, literally, enhancing the other one so that we can all benefit from what we bring to the table. Now, in the environment of, let's say, a holiday celebration, that means in today's world that chances are there are people who are coming to the event or invited to the event who come from cultures that are very different and therefore may not really understand Western holiday traditions or may have their own holiday traditions that aren't being represented in the typical Western office party. So what we're saying is, let's find a way to hang a welcome sign out there to everyone who is invited to these events, and let's not replace anything with anything, but rather let's all have what we bring to the table highlighted and celebrated, understood, and welcomed. So we're augmenting we're enhancing. I don't think we're replacing.
So now, of course, the logistics question, sometimes planning a holiday event can be a challenge on its own, but being inclusive with so many different cultures, how do you go about doing that?
Well, this raises the requirement for living in the 21st century, which is that we have to become aware of cultural issues. And we each have to be responsible for raising our awareness level to the degree that we can and to the degree that it matters. And the point is that it does matter in the 21st century. You know, when we're working, we're always working now with colleagues and associates from other cultures. It's automatic. It's built right into the nature of work in the 21st century. And this means they could be sitting at your desk down the hall, or they could be on the screen thousands of miles away. But they are probably, likely, from a different culture. And therefore, that's the reality of work. So we can't be ostriches and keep our heads in the ground. We've got to manage this thing called culture that's now on our plates. And that means we all have to take responsibility for recognizing that people have different traditions, people have different backgrounds, they have different ways of celebrating, they have different ways of solving problems. And all of this should be good news, because if you can see things from a different perspective, you may, in fact, be able to find solutions to your own problems that you haven't been able to think of. So, you know, these differences present us with real opportunities. However, until we accept the fact that they do exist and make some effort to understand them and value them, you don't have to value everything, but you have to understand it. Then it may seem strange and different, and it may seem like it has some heavy lifting, and that is one more thing to have to deal with, but that's life. And so if you're an adult, a responsible person in today's world, go into this with some enthusiasm, because I think you'll be enchanted by learning about things that you didn't know before. You do have to take, I think we all do, have to take responsibility for learning about the other person, assuming that they are coming from a different culture. What does it mean? And to reach out and to ask questions that people really don't mind answering. Like, how do you celebrate the holidays in your culture? How is it done in India? How is it done in China? Is it done at all? What can you bring to the holiday celebration that'll be more fun for everyone? And I think if we go into it with that kind of positive, open, curious, inquiring way, we can learn a lot. We can build relationships with our colleagues, our work colleagues, deepen those relationships. And that's just all going to be for the better.
So, Dean, what are some of the strategies you can suggest for companies to learn about various holidays their employees celebrate without overstepping maybe personal or religious boundaries?
I think that it's important to understand that, you know, religious beliefs are personal and they need to remain in the personal sphere. You don't want to bring them to an office environment. So everyone has the right to observe their own personal religious beliefs, but they don't have the right to impose them on others. That could be interpreted as what's happening when you bring those symbols, concepts, ideas to a multicultural office celebration at the end of the year. Be aware of the fact that we do want to make the distinction between those two things. I think keeping the religious aspects out of the celebration is an important gesture in and of itself. And once we do that, we can then open the door to finding out how our colleagues celebrate the end of the year holidays in their culture.
You just mentioned symbols. Maybe could you elaborate on that, and how can organizations effectively incorporate those symbols so that they resonate with everyone?
Yeah, I think that the end of the year celebration is pretty ubiquitous. It's pretty much found everywhere in the world today. Oftentimes, even in cultures where they themselves don't have this indigenous to their own celebrations. But since it's become so popular, you know, let's celebrate New Year's, let's celebrate the holidays at the end of the year. So you could go to, you know, Hong Kong and Singapore, and you can find Santa Claus outside of every door in front of every shopping mall. And everyone understands who Santa Claus is in Singapore and in Hong Kong. And that's fine. So these generalized symbols are well understood pretty much in all cultures today. So keeping it Santa Claus and the reindeer and all of the jolly associations that we make with that, and gift giving and red and green lights and all of that, that's pretty much fine everywhere. But you may have people who are participating for whom this is generally taken as fun and in good spirit, but who don't share some of the other trappings that usually accompany these kinds of Western end-of-year celebrations. For example, at the office party drinking alcohol. They may come from cultures where they don't drink alcohol. I think of cultures in the Middle East, in Africa, parts of Asia, where that's just not part of the end-of-the-year celebration. It may be, but it may not be. For them, this may be something new and different. Expectations about how one is supposed to behave at these events will likely be different, too. In some cultures, it's odd for men and women to socialize together in this kind of an environment. So you want to be respectful of that. One way to do this is to simply make sure that everyone who's invited is informed as to what the expectations are. Everything from how to dress to the fact that when you schedule it, for example, you want to schedule it in a way that it doesn't affect perhaps some other celebrations that they are having privately, like having it on a Friday night probably isn't a good idea for a lot of folks who might be coming from observant Muslim cultures. Expecting men and women to socialize in these kinds of functions, probably not a good idea. Doesn't mean you don't invite them, but it does mean that if a woman wants to come with her sister, for example, that's not a strange request from her culture. Be open to those kinds of questions and those kinds of scenarios.
Now, what you just said brings up two thoughts for me. And the first one is the timing. You mentioned about Friday nights. And I'm also thinking, how can organizations ensure that they're scheduling these events so that they don't conflict with perhaps culturally significant dates? Because I know in some cultures, there are holidays that are celebrated over a period of days or maybe even a week.
Right. Well, I think what you want to do is use the resources that you have at your disposal. There are probably people in the office. If you have these concerns, you have them because you know that there are people in the office who might not understand the Western celebration. Reach out to them prior and get them involved in helping to arrange the event. What should we know about how we can welcome you better? Is there something about what we're planning that is going to be a problem? Are there any holidays that you're planning to celebrate that this would interfere with? I think just build that kind of outreach, which is, I think, a very smart thing to do in general in multicultural organizations when you know that there are people there who are representing cultures different from your own, different from the one that they are now working in, that they are now themselves having to probably struggle and adapt to. Reach out to them, support them. That kind of outreach is usually very, very welcome. And if you do this anyway as part of how you build your teams, extending it to or inviting them to participate in the planning of an end-of-year celebration is just a natural thing to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I know that in some organizations, they actually have the holiday celebrations in January. And sometimes it's organizations who are in hospitality. So, of course, the end of the year is the busiest time of year. But I'm also seeing here that there could be some opportunities to be sensitive to significant dates. They might perhaps look at having their events even in the new year.
Yeah, that sounds like an option. And, you know, when you think about how Christmas is celebrated around the world, when you expand the concept of Christmas celebration beyond what it traditionally has represented in North America, you realize that all of Latin America celebrates Three Kings Day, which is after the traditional Western Christmas. And it's a far more important holiday than Christmas morning itself. So if you have representatives from Latin American countries, it makes perfect sense to have a celebration at the beginning of January. Remember that Eastern Orthodox Christianity celebrates Christmas a week later. Most of the non-Christian world, I'm looking at East Asia, looking at parts of South Asia, we're looking at Buddhist cultures, Hindu cultures, Muslim cultures. We're not celebrating the Christmas aspect of the holidays. We're celebrating the end of the year, the end of the Western calendar holidays. and their just annual holiday celebrations. Expanding the concept and just making it broader and more inclusive, I think, is going to make it more fun and gives you more flexibility.
Yeah. Now, in the article, you highlight the importance of including remote employees in celebrations. We're typically talking about in-house parties, but working remote has been the new reality, especially after the pandemic. What are some of the unique virtual activities that you've seen or recommend that organizations can do?
I think, making sure that your remote colleagues are involved in this is just a fact of life. And we need to be proactive in making sure that they're involved in some way too. So in the planning of it, you can build in a piece where, it requires a little bit of preparation ahead of time and outreach to these folks. Let's say you've got people in India. Well, they've just come off of their end of year celebration, which is Diwali, usually around the end of November. That's typically when it would fall in the Western calendar. Let's have them share some of their favorite recipes for food that they eat at the Diwali celebration and share it with everyone in the organization so that maybe people have an opportunity before the Christmas and New Year's celebrations to try out their recipes at home and bring them in on the on-screen moment where we're all together. Let's taste those cookies that you baked with that new Indian recipe. And what do you think of them? And we can all celebrate together a little bit on the screen.
That's a great idea because it's a lot easier to bring the camera, bring the phone or the computer into the kitchen than to have to drag all the utensils and appliances to the office.
That's right. We see an advantage here. Although I've never quite seen the opportunity yet. The technology still hasn't developed to that point. Maybe it will, where we can actually share a meal or a glass of beer together over the screen. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Now, to put you on the spot a little bit, you may have to put your thinking hat on, or in Canada, we call it a thinking toque. But can you perhaps think of a specific example where you've seen a multicultural holiday celebration done exceptionally well?
Well, I've seen organizations handle the multicultural challenges of these end-of-year celebrations very well. And in fact, they turn out most of the time very, very successfully. Because I think we're opening a door to something that people yearn to participate in. And when they feel invited and welcome, they often don't just walk through that door, they rush through that door. Suddenly, things are happening that you never expected to happen that are wonderful, where people are sharing holiday recipes and, let's come in and dress the way we would dress if we were doing this celebration back home. And fun, exciting things like that happen unexpectedly, unanticipated, simply because the door was opened. The problems are usually when you don't do anything to allow it to happen. Then people don't come, or they feel left out, and they feel like they're not part of the party. Hmm.
What's one memorable tradition or celebration you've encountered during your global work that could inspire people?
This isn't so much an end-of-year celebration, but the tradition in Hong Kong and South China has always been when you open an office, you have to have someone come in and bless the office. If you move to a new location or if you're starting a new venture in South China and in Hong Kong particularly, you would have a lion dance come in, very much like the way we celebrate the New Year's. The Lunar New Year in China. These individuals in a lion costume come through the office with drums banging and gongs clashing. And somebody comes and blesses the office, a Buddhist priest or someone from the community. And we also put these little gold coins around the office, again, representing prosperity and representing good luck. Over the years, I've seen these gold coins stuck in the ceiling of these acoustical tiles. And one time I was going into an office and I saw somebody up there putting these gold coins in the acoustical tiles that were hanging from the ceiling. I had to ask them, what were they doing and why were they doing that? And that was in preparation for the office party, for the blessing of the office. And I thought that was such a sweet thing to do, and it would be such a strange thing to do in a Western setting. Well, certainly it would have no meaning in a Western setting, but even just the idea of blessing the office for good luck was something that struck me as, well, this would never happen in New York City unless it was down in Chinatown. And how nice that we can have a celebration where everyone can come together and feel good about not only having the celebration for the sake of the office, but a reason to come together and to feel more solid as a team. And I think ultimately that was probably its greatest effect.
Now, that's interesting, because I know one of the things you mentioned in your article is finding for organizations, you're encouraging organizations to find creative ways to celebrate holidays, not just at the year end. And I think this is one way that could be done.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's a function of outreach. If you don't know how to celebrate throughout the year, you've got people in the office who do. Because in their culture, they probably got some celebration that's occurring at some point in the year that's important to them.
Yeah.
You can just plan it, find out how they do it, what it's about. Do you have some Iranians in the office who can tell you about the Persian New Year? That's going to happen in the spring. Lunar New Year is going to happen in late winter. The typical Jewish New Year's, that's happening in the fall. You can have New Year celebrations all year long. And it's not just New Year celebrations. You can have celebrations of all sorts of important events that you might not know about until you ask.
Well, the nice thing about celebrations is it usually leaves a great smile on people's faces, and what a better way to increase collaboration and morale.
Exactly. And that in an office setting, that is your ultimate goal for sure.
Dean, you mentioned the Persian tradition, and I want to share a little story with you. Now, this wasn't specifically a celebration, but in Toastmasters, we have speech projects. And one of our members, this is probably about 6 or 7 years ago, had to do a speech project that involved using visual aids. And so he is from the Persian culture. And there's a tradition, I hope I got this right, it's called Haftsin, and it's the seven symbols. And what happens is that he was illustrating the seven different symbols. And in Farsi, I believe it's in Farsi, each one of those symbols starts with the word S. The tradition is something along the lines of, you have coins that represent prosperity. There's a hyacinth flower that represents spring and renewal. And then there's sweets that represent happiness and joy. And then, of course, there are four others. And I thought, when I saw that, I thought, wow. I thought that was just incredible, and I loved how they celebrated that. And I learned a lot from it, which I had no idea. I had never heard of it before.
Yeah, and that sounds like a traditional Persian New Year celebration, which New Year's in Iran and in many parts of the world occurs in the spring or closer to it. And this whole idea of symbols, I think, is really a nice place to start, because all cultures have different symbols representing lots of different things. And funnily enough, when it comes to end-of-year celebrations and New Year celebrations, we're celebrating the new year no matter when it occurs in your culture. Oftentimes, the message is the same. Let's be thankful for our achievements in the past year. Let's be hopeful for new good things in the new year. Let's be thankful to the people who have helped us in the past. And let's be grateful for the opportunity to help each other going forward. That's kind of universal in certainly New Year celebrations around the world. Incorporating the different symbols that represent these universal ideas would be a wonderful way to bring that into your organization all year long. Ask people, what are the different symbols? How do we celebrate them? What are the traditions? Are there different kinds of food? Do we dress differently? Do we have certain ways of celebrating that would be interesting for others to know about? That's, I think, an outreach program that you can do with anybody who's interested in the organization, who wants to share their cultural ways of celebrating New Year's and learn from others about what theirs were.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Dean, this has certainly been eye-opening for me. And folks, if you've found value in this episode, I encourage you to share it with your family and friends and fellow Toastmasters. You can get the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Dean, this has been most enlightening. And before we go, perhaps can you share, can you just leave us with one thought for everyone at this time of the year?
Sure, I'd love to. I want to wish everybody happy holidays. And do take advantage. This is, on the one hand, thinking about how different people celebrate the end of year holidays may seem to be like a chore, one more thing you have to consider. And you may wish that you didn't have to, but now you do. But on the other hand, let's flip it around and let's not see it as a problem that needs to be addressed, but rather see it as a real opportunity to deepen the relationships you have with your coworkers and associates, to learn something about them that you possibly didn't know before, and to bring some sparkle and some new ways of celebrating into maybe some traditions that have gotten a little bit dusty and old. This is a new way of seeing the celebration at the end of the year, and I think it's the only way to move forward in the 21st century. So do it.
Also, folks, don't forget to check out Dean's article in the December 2024 issue of the magazine, Celebrating the Holidays in a Multicultural Workplace, 8 Tips to Make Everyone Feel Welcome. And Dean, before we go, if people want to reach out to find out more about your articles and your books, how can they do that?
Sure. DeanFosterGlobal.com. Everything you ever wanted to know about me and my work and my writings, it's all there. I'm an open book. Let me hear from you and love to learn a little bit more about your thoughts about what we discussed today. DeanFosterGlobal.com.
And we'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes. Dean Foster, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the program today. And I wish you all the best for the upcoming holidays.
Thanks. I'm celebrating already. Thank you, Greg.